Hallelujah. Sunday before Christmas. They can call it Happy Holidays all they want. It is Christmas. We're Christians around the world. Celebrate the greatest event in history. And that is the birth of the Savior. The birth of the Savior. Glory to God. In fact, let's just look at that for just a moment. Go to John chapter 1. I'm just amazed at God's Word. I have been for 30 years. You know, just as soon as you start getting some understanding of it and you think, man, I've really got something now. And a few years down the road, he'll show you a deeper part of it. And you're going, what part did I understand before? It was like nothing. So all my meditation, people, where are you right now? So well, I'm in John 3. I'm spending most of my time in John chapter 3 right now. New levels of truth coming out of there that it's going to change how we walk, because it changes our perception of who we are. So do you need all of that to be saved? Nope. The blood is enough. You'll see that right here in this chapter. We're not talking about salvation. If the thief on the cross made it, glory to God, putting your faith in the blood of the Lamb will get you there too. God's not trying to keep people out of heaven. He's trying to get people in. The title we put on last week's message was All Religions Are False, including any that say Christianity that leave out the new birth. Because good works have nothing to do with it, really. There's only two kinds of people on planet Earth. That's sons of Adam and sons of God. You either have the Adamic nature in you, you have a spirit passed down, a fallen nature from Adam, or you've been reborn, that spirit's been quickened to new life by the last Adam, Jesus Christ, and you are a Christite and no longer an Adamite. And that's the only two kinds of people there are. Now there's what the world would call good sinners and bad sinners. And what they mean by that is, well, they use the power of the soul to restrain what they are at their core to a large degree. And there's other people that just let the flesh run wild, you know. But see, both kinds of those are still sinners, and they're both still lost, and they're both still Adamites. And how God really got me going up along that path was when Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, he says, no man's ever ascended into heaven. None. Not any ever. At that point, none ever had. What do you think? Moses? King David? Abraham? But at that point, none of them had ever really come into the presence of the Father, and they couldn't. Why? What they are. They had to be born again also. And he had to take captivity captive and lead them into heaven after they were born again. He preached to them. Well, what is the root core problem with man? Is it sin? Nobody answering, nobody breathing, nobody looking around. Now, sin was the door. The root problem with man is not sin. The root problem is death. Man is spiritually dead. And that means all men. The whole species of man is already born spiritually dead. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 3, I know I'm going to get to John 1 eventually, hopefully. You tell where I've been. That's why he says in John chapter 3, he didn't come to the world to condemn it. World's condemned already. It is a lost species, born dead. The only hope is a new birth. That's why all religions are false. If the whole species is dead, no amount of good works can make it alive. Life has to be birthed. That's why you can't join life. I want to go to heaven. Why? I joined the church. It's not enough. You must be born again. Now, if you haven't found John 1 by now, look on with somebody else. Celebrating Christmas, the birth of the Savior, the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of life. One time when I was praying, I saw a little mini vision, what I call a teaching vision. I didn't fall over in a trance on the rooftop, thank God. Because I was driving a truck at the time. So. But I saw like a meteor coming to earth, like a comet or something. It was shiny and bright and it's coming. What is that? That is my seed of life. Jesus Christ is God sowing the seed of life into a fallen world. Rudy here the other day, he's been passing out pears during the season of harvest, and he was counting them. He's got a single pear tree, grew from one seed. And just this season alone, I don't remember the exact number, but it was roughly 5,800 pears off of one tree. And it's been doing that for a decade. Now, if you was to take each seed, which are several seeds in each pear, if a person was to replant every one of those, you'd have a pear empire. King of pears. Well, that's exactly what God had in mind with seeding Jesus Christ into the earth, that through that one seed, another tree would be planted, and then another tree would be planted, and each tree producing multiple seeds, multiple fruit, repopulate the earth with children, sons of the living God again. But religion has done its best to waylay that process, fabricate all kind of lies to keep our minds religiously trained instead of life trained. But in these days, I thank God he raised up a man named Dave Roberson, who once again was able to relay the foundation stones that if you want to, you can put your hand in the hand of the true teacher of the body of Christ, and that's the Holy Ghost. And he will lead you out of religion into life. And I don't mean that you're not born again. I just mean where you can walk like what you really are. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, I remember it was a great day. I don't know how many years I had been into this. And I already knew a lot about the power of confessing God's Word. And I had seen the power of it. The first real teacher of that to me was not Dave, it was Norval Hayes, to be honest with you, back in the early days in the 80s. And he came out with a series called How to Live and Not Die. I don't know how many of you remember that. That series has probably saved as many people from dying of cancer and other damnable diseases as any doctor on earth. How to Live and Not Die. I remember I devoured that. I can still preach it today, almost like Norval, with the same voice inflections, almost exactly. And I'd used it myself and seen the power of it in my own life and in other people's lives. But I remember it wasn't until I began praying the mysteries and assimilating the Word of God. I don't know how long I was into that, sometime after 92, when we began attending here, that this verse just broke open in me, and I began to understand why confession of the Word works, why speaking God's Word, why it always changes it. If you don't quit, it's not a maybe so. See, it's not how to maybe live. It's how to live. It'll work every time. And it's this verse that broke it open. It says, all things were made by him. Him who? Him the Word. all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now wait a minute. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. You could say all things were made by the Word. You can read in Genesis how he did it. In the King James it says, God, for example, God said, let there be light. But in Hebrew it says, light be. And light was. God, I like that. That's the way I want all my prayers answered right there. I want to get to the point that when I speak to the mountain, that's the result. Right there. It's the way Jesus did it. It's the way he intends for us to do it. And we can do it. Because he said we could. Not religiously minded, we're not. Well, anyway, everything in there is like that. Plants, be. Fish, be. Everything that he did was like that. And it finally hit my lightning quick mind by revelation one day. The reason everything that is will respond to the Word of God is because at its core, everything that is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Light is God's Word. Light be. Light was. Everything that is. Now, it's been perverted now, you know, after Adam's high treason in the garden and selling out to the devil. Now, God's creation has been perverted. But still, at its core, that chair you're sitting in is the Word of God. At its core, at its essence, everything that is the Word of God, and everything that is will respond to God's Word when it's spoken in faith by a believer. We could just camp right there and have a camp meeting. I mean, we should practice for an hour speaking God's Word right now. I did it, Brother Gary. How long? I did it 2 days. How old are you? I'll be nice to you. 21. So your mind has been trained for 21 years regarding how things work by fallen people in a fallen world. Your understanding has been trained and molded by that, and you're going to change that in 2 days. Yeah. Now, God's Word will work. It'll work every time. It'll work without fail. Because God can't lie. You put His Word in your mouth, you will have exactly what you say. If you don't quit. Verse 4, in Him was life. See, He's the seed. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, but he was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now notice verse 12. This shatters all religions. This shatters all inclusiveness. But as many as received him. Received who? Him. As many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them which believe on his name. They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas and happy holidays. And the reason for that is that at Christmas time, the merchants want the Muslim dollar and the Buddhist dollar and the atheist dollar. That's the reason they're doing it. We don't want to offend them. I intend to offend the fire out of them. In love, because if they don't get offended and repent, they're going to wind up in hell, every single one of them. God help America, you know. Even events this weekend. Can't go there. He gave them the power to become the sons of God, meaning they sure weren't before they received Him. I never will forget that billboard driving to Houston many years ago. And it wasn't just one billboard. About every 20 miles, they'd have this billboard again. And it was during that time that might have been 20 years ago. I don't know how long ago. You people will notice as you get older, every time you turn around, it's your birthday again. You just... Didn't we have a birthday last week? What? I turned around twice and my children are in their 30s. I go, how did that happen? I ate supper and they were 30. I don't get it. You know. But anyway, a long time ago in a galaxy... No, anyway, we were... Sue and I were driving to Houston and we saw this sign, and it was during that period of time where that song was real popular. We are the children of the world. Remember that song? It was on TV all the time, and they had all different ethnic groups, you know, every race, slanty-eyed, round-eyed, almond-eyed, white, brown, polka-dotted, striped, everything, you know, all people. And the message was, we are basically, you know, and this billboard showed all that, all these people, and the caption was, we are all the children of God. And that's the biggest lie religion ever told. We are all the creation of God. But you become a son of God just the way it says right here, by receiving Him. Go over to John 5 just for a moment, if I can find this verse real quick. I haven't been able to get very far out of John here lately, not that I really want to. Just odd to me that you have come full circle after 30 years studying John 3:16. Look at John 5:39. And he's talking to the Pharisees at the time, who were the most... I mean, everybody looked up to the Pharisees. If anyone was going to make it, it was them. You know, they were the fastidious ones, and you know, they would grow mint and cumin and little herbs. You know, like in a, like I picture it like in maybe, you know, like a window. Women will grow herbs in their kitchen window thingy, you know. Oh, I got a little sprig of mint here, and I've got to cut off one leaf. That's a tenth. We've got to give that part. Very fastidious about things like that. Jesus talking to them, and he says, search the scriptures. Verse 39. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life. See, the root cause of the problem with man is not really sin. Sin was the door. But through that door, death. The root cause of the problem is man. Well, man, the root cause, that's really not bad. We'll leave that in there. But the root, we have met the enemy and he is us. That's pretty good. But really, it's death. See, sin is the fruit of death. Murder. Death is the problem. I know some people struggle with the fact that Jesus died spiritually, you know. I understand that. I struggled with it for years. It took a long time to convince me because I couldn't see it. The way we see Jesus, that he could ever become sin. But see, once I really started understanding the real root of the problem, it's not physical death. If Jesus only tasted physical death for every man, we're still lost. If he only redeemed us from physical death, which really he hasn't. Well, he has, but it hasn't been completed yet. It said the last enemy to be put underfoot is death. And that death he's talking about there is physical death. Because spiritual death has been resolved. Are you in John? Go to chapter 3 now, just for a moment. He just got through telling John, I'm not going to read it all, we'll run out of time. He says, you must be born again. He didn't give him an option, like it's a good idea. He said, you must be born again. Religion's not going to get it done. And the man he's talking to, Nicodemus, is a ruling member in the Pharisees. He's an expert at religion. He's living his life trying to please God. And Jesus says to him, no, you must be born again. There's no other option, Nicodemus. So it's in this passage right here, and see, we'll start in verse 13, I guess. This is where he's got me now. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, I remember the early days of reading that. Even when I read it back in the Old Testament, the account where they lifted up that brazen serpent, I remember thinking, why? Because I knew it was a type of Jesus, and I'm going, why in the world didn't they put a lamb on that pole? Why in the world would you make a serpent out of it? And it was years before the understanding finally came to me. It's not, thank God for the body of Jesus that was broken for us, and we celebrate communion. I know that the life is in the blood, but because the reason there's life in the blood is because there's spirit in the life. Listen, the body without the spirit is dead. Remember that? The body without the spirit is dead. It's spirit. The root cause is not physical death. The root cause is spiritual death. Man's dead. You know, he tells... Oh boy, I'm going to go where angels fear to tread now. See, I used to rejoice when he would... I'd read that part there in the... I think it's in John also, and I'd have to find it. I didn't know I was going to use this verse. I used to just rejoice when Jesus would talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he says, "You are of your father, the devil." Yeah, it's good enough for them. Till it finally dawned on me. See, that's the whole problem. Who do you think is the author of spiritual death? It's not God. When Adam believed the devil, when he chose the devil's words over God's words, he basically did what the devil tried to get Jesus to do. Bow down and worship me. Believe me. Trust me. And that's really what Adam did. And when he did that, he lawfully transferred all that authority he'd been given to his new master. You ever wonder why God just doesn't thump the devil into hell right now? He can't legally do it, not without breaking his word. Not till Adam's lease runs out is one way to say it. That's one reason, again, second, you can't meditate this. It'll take you right over to 2 Peter, which we talked about it last Sunday. And he's saying I hear it just as clear. Don't you hear him? He says some of them weren't here last Sunday. Go to 2 Peter. I'm sorry, that's funny. And the Lord has a sense of humor. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 9. Said, "Now the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." And remember last week we hooked that up with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's a deeper understanding of that word perish, you know. I always just equated perish with perishing in hell, and it is that. But see, really what he's talking about is even more than that. Because at the end of the age here, let's finish reading it, there's a perishing that's coming. And I want you to see the detail. Everything that belonged to the first man, Adam, and I mean everything, is going to perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The heavens? What is that? Go back to Genesis. Read it. The heavens includes the stars, the moon, the sun, what we know as the universe. The heavens. I mean, even the universe that was created for Adam is going to perish. Said the stars were given for times and seasons and to do with planting, and even the heavens are going to perish. that shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And if you look that word up, dissolved, I don't think they knew about atoms in the Greek days. Maybe they did, I don't know. But that word dissolved there, it's the same word you would use if you took sugar. You know, you can take sugar and you can see it, right? It's granules of sugar. And you put it in water and you stir it. Can you see it anymore? Dissolved like that. I think today we would use the word deatomized. Maybe not. But I mean gone to the point you can't see it anymore. There's another verse that says, today all things consist, are held together by the word of its power. Well, in that day, all things that belong to the first man, Adam, everything, the universe, the earth, the works that are therein, the elements themselves are going to be dissolved like sugar in the water. Can't see it anymore. It's gone, not to be found. I do not want to be found in Adam at the end of the age. Because if you are of Adam, you also will be involved in that process. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now we're going to get into, see, this has been a year. What did the Lord say about this year at the beginning of it? This is going to be a year of learning about your Father. Boy, have we ever. We've had so many messages through Alan, through me, through Mark, through Dave, through myself. I know this is the year that Hebrews 12 opened up in a way that I only partly saw it before, and now I understand it so much better about the Father of spirits and learning how to be instructed and tutored by Him so that we can grow up and partake of His holiness. Remember that? Partake of His holiness. Now notice what Peter links this up with, this letter here. He's not really he's writing it to people that are already born again. He's warning them, now, since you are born again, what manner of life should you be living? Holiness. We've had a year of learning about who our Father is so we can know who we are. But I'm prophesying. Didn't intend to. This next year is going to be a year of learning who we are. Fathered by our Heavenly Father and tutored by Him. So we walk no more as the world walks. Holiness is not the end of it. Holiness is the path to it. Part of the path to it. Because you know what our assignment is from the Father, the assignment of the prayer center, and that's to go far enough into God where we bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Do you think we're going to do that without walking a holy lifestyle? He's even had me teach it on fasting. How scary is that? Think of the horror. Think of it. I said, God, what are you doing? It's verse 11 again. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? That's not just the way you talk. That's the way you walk. That word, that's an old English word that means your manner of life. And godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, there it is again, the heavens shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we who? Christites. Christians. Children of the living God, born of His Spirit. And I mean only those. We, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. In the same way that God made heavens and earth for His first man, Adam, at the very conclusion of this thing, all of that's going to be dissolved and gone away. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth for the last Adam and all of his children. He says, if you want to prepare for that now, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him. Now, this next three phrases just scares the bejabbers out of me. See? I'm pretty good at peace. I'm a lot better at peace than I used to be. Without spot, in Christ. See? And you'll make it to heaven. See, I mean, what I mean is you'll make it. If the thief made it, you know he didn't have much time to clean up his act. I love that thief on the cross. I'm so glad that it's in the Bible. I hang my hat there a lot. But see, there's a transition happening. It's happening in you too. I know it is, because you've been on the same path this year. See, what's happening is a thirst and a hunger. Not just to make it. See, I lose the words. Not just to, I don't want to just make it and live like the world or anything like the world. But I have to be honest with you. If I'm going to be stand here and be honest and not a hypocrite, a lot of me has liked the world. There's parts of me. Again, I thank God for the day that Alan and Mike Banks, it's the best message I've heard all year, I think. Well, no, Dave's was the best. He's sitting right over there. But that helped me so much, though, and to the point I printed a picture and I keep it right on my desk. I look at it all the time. See, to finally get it, I really am born again, but I'm saddled with this flesh. And up until now, here we go, it's confession time. I have petted my flesh a lot. I've petted it a lot. And I understand it so much better. He's not going to change, that Mike Banks guy. Yes, sir. So then Alan did another message, and he had another man come up. And so Alan was in the middle. This is us. This is me. This is the Christian. And had Mike Banks over here on the right. So he's that. That's the flesh, the mind of the flesh. That's the guy that loves the world. It's not your nature. See, that's to understand. The whole reason there's a war in you is because you've got a new nature that's battling against that guy. See, before that, you had a nature that agreed with that guy. See, you didn't even know the law of God. There was no internal law of God. You were like the guy in Romans 7. I wouldn't have known it was covetousness until I read it. See, when you get born again, you know it. You don't have to read it. But still, there's a war. So that sets up the war. Now you've got this righteous nature on the inside, created in righteousness and holiness. And on the right-hand side, if my mind agreed all the way over here, me and the flesh would just agree on everything. On the left-hand side, he had another guy come up, and this would be like your mind if you were totally renewed to the mind of Christ. If my mind was totally renewed over here, everything that I think would be right in line with what Jesus thinks. Would you live holy there? Would your walk be holy? Well, we're somewhere in between. See, this is us. You know, some days. Beginning to understand this a little better. See, some days, Sunday, I'm usually a lot closer to the mind of Christ. By the time you get beat down all week, you know, thank God for the midweek service. You know, because By then, you've been beat down. I'm a worm. I'm a slime. I might as well have another slice of pie. Here, I'm trying to teach on fasting. Every time I come to church, people are laying dessert on my chair. Christmas time. I love you. Thank you. It's your fault. No. Oh. Well, this renewing of the mind, I'm understanding it so much better than I used to because I finally get it. See this Mike Banks guy, the flesh guy? He's not going to change. What I have to do is dominate him. He is going to think, nah, I'm just using this. He's going to think that 2 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts is a good snack. Now I could pick anything, okay? I'm trying to pick something silly. But he's going to think that forever. And if I agree with him, how big am I going to be? Now we could, he's going to think of, now that's, okay, let's go, see, you can just read over there in Galatians 5 about the flesh. He thinks adultery is a good thing to do. He thinks fornication is a good thing to do, yeah. Hatred, murder, kill them. Kill them all, let God sort them out. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. Don't get mad, get even. That's the flesh. And he's always going to be that way. See, the flesh is not really going to change. It has to be dominated. So our duty in this Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I love the way it is in Ephesians. It's not just renew your mind, it's be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the things of God are spiritually discerned. And that's where the difference between the message I know now and the message I knew when I came here in 1992 is how to be spiritually developed, really. How do I receive more? How do I strengthen really that inner guy, the spirit man, who I really am? And thank God we found out through one of the avenues. Of course, eating God's Word, that's your food. You starve yourself, you're not going to be strong if you don't eat God's Word. See, one steak is not enough. I like steak. I ate one this week, actually, at Logan's. That's not enough. I'm going to need another one. You got to stay strong. You got to eat. So that's part of it. But beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Our new nature helps us with these infirmities, but the Spirit also helps with those infirmities, see. Building yourselves up. And it's not just like Dave has taught us forever. It's not just like a battery charger, you know, just building, you're praying in tongues, I can feel the charge. No, it's because he changes how you think. He moves your mind from flesh to center more and more towards Christ all the time. Impossible things start seeming normal. Well, of course God wouldn't leave that person in the wheelchair. Before you get there, though, of course I can walk away from the Krispy Kremes. Well, of course, of course that's sin. I hate that. One of my prayers right now is, God, I want to hate iniquity. I want to hate sin the way that you hate it. Because if I hate it the way he hates it, I won't mess with it. See, this next year, it's not going to be real fun. You know why I know that? Hebrews 12. See, no chastening for the moment seems joyous. See, I know right now that for me to walk where he wants me to walk, I got to change. Have y'all figured that part out yet? That I got to change. Oh, no, I mean that you got to change too. Have y'all figured that out yet? Change is not pleasant. Especially the kind of change where you're going to be putting your foot, I'm not going to ask Mike to come up here, but putting your foot right on the neck of the flesh. And the flesh, you think it's going to, oh, okay, you want me dead? Sure, I'll just lay down. Yeah, right. Thank God for an honest man. Yeah, right. My flesh threatens me with death. Every time I think about fasting, I will kill you. You know, you skip one meal, you're going to die. Starts negotiating by supper time. Just give me one. I don't want the big hamburger, just the little McDouble. It's only 99 cents. Just give me the little McDouble. I'll let you fast as long as you want that lion thing. You can give it six McDoubles and it'll want some more. It's not going to lie down. So if we're going to walk in more tutoring, see, if you endure, yes, sir. See, this was the year of learning more about our Father. This next year is the year of learning to endure the chastening. Endure the chastening. I think there's going to be more fasting this year. And that's just one thing. See, fasting really is... I'm doing it again, aren't I? Am I teaching on fasting again? God, what are you doing? See, it's because it's unavoidable now. See, the thing about fasting, it's a war that you can start that you won't die from. But you think you will. But what I'm saying is, if you want to find out how strong you are, just start fasting. I mean, we'll see who's winning. Spirit man or the emotional man? Your emotions go crazy. God, I thought you loved me. Don't you love me? I'm suffering here, God. Suffering. I've been delivered from suffering. I went to those first churches. I know I've been delivered from all suffering. I watch TV. What's wrong with you, God? No suffering. But what happens is the emotions, you can start that war. That's one way you can do it. Y'all remember? I'm the guy that successfully did those 30-day fasts. Oh, yeah. Because I found out the word fast means quick. I can finish a 30-day fast by noon. I'm fast. But those days are over. See, because what happens is after the first day or by the supper time, what matters is the war. And you find out where you are. Find out who you are. Then you'll find out also, my friend Jin Ho Kim from Korea, Pastor Jin Ho, I told you last week, he told me about this. He said he struggled for years trying to do one 40-day fast, never could make it, you know. And for God's sake, when you start this, don't condemn yourself. It's like that lady that come in with Pastor Dave, so condemned because she was going to do a whatever long fast, and she caved after just a little while. And he says, now you're condemning yourself. Most of the church world thinks fasting passed away with the first century. And here you are at least trying. I mean, they don't do it at all. And you're trying. And you think God is condemning you over that? He's your biggest cheerleader. He's going, come on now. Come on. Just go again. You did good. Now come on. Next time we'll make it till supper time. Then you'll make it a whole day and then 2 days. And you'll get there, see? But the real war that we've got to start walking... There we go again. But it's... See, the thing about, too, about fasting, it identifies your flesh. God, don't you let... Here's emotions. I don't know how it comes through you. I'll just do how it comes through me. Day two. Fasting on day two. First off, I'm hearing voices telling me I'm going to die. I'm hungry. I'm going to die. I probably have a medical condition. I'm probably the exception. I shouldn't fast anyway. I hear those kind of voices. Surely there's some kind of... I must have a thyroid problem. Don't you ever hear anything like that? You know? But then there's this little whiny voice. I thought you loved me, God. Why would you want me to suffer like this? Don't you love me? I like blessing. God, don't you want to bless me? See, for years I thought that voice was me. And you find out that's the flesh. And you're not going to like this part. Alan said it first. Blame Alan. Actually, Paul said it, or whoever wrote Hebrews. See, God's not the father of your flesh. You know it plainly says that in Hebrews 12? It says, we had fathers of our flesh who corrected us. Didn't say God was the father of your flesh. Oh, our carpenter's the father of my flesh. But if you go all the way back, Adam is the father of my flesh. See? But we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the father of... See, the father of your spirit, if you're a Christian. He's the father of your spirit. And now he's trying to mature you the same way your father... He's trying to mature you in the spirit the same way our fathers of the flesh tried to raise us up to be men and women of God. He's trying to mature us. It's exactly the same thing. But as we mature in God, we partake of His holiness. So that whiny part of me that says, God, don't you love me? The answer is no. I've got a new plaque on my wall right underneath that picture. And it says, when the flesh cries out from fasting, spare not for his much crying, let him die. Those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Ow! That doesn't seem joyous. And see, the thing of it is, you say, food has something to do with miracles? It's not the food. It's the victory of who you are. Who's winning? Who are you? Are you that whiny guy? Well, yeah, I think I am. No, you're not. And as long as you think you are, talk about Gary, not you, but as long as Gary thinks he is that whiny creature, identify with him. Any little boo, I go, ah. You know, scares you. I'm not going to walk as he walked. Talk as he talked, had the same results he had. It's time for me to... Now, I had to find out who my father really was. I found out what the plan is. His plan is to not be nice to that guy. That's why it says no chastening for the present seems joyous, but grievous. But afterwards, after what? After you endure the chastening. See, the end result is not the food that you eat. The end result is victory over the soul. Let me say it a different way. Victory over the emotions. Victory over every stronghold in the mind that is not already conformed to the mind of Christ. That would include parts that say that's impossible. When God says nothing's impossible. I know it's on the path. I thank God Dave has never surrendered teaching us fasting. Even though I wanted to abstain the first quarter of every year from the church. Here we go again. But I managed to endure it without doing much. Fasting. Successfully made it again another year. Well, I did 1 year. I did a year of series fasting. And that's okay. That's a good way to start, you know. And boy, I highly recommend Dave's series. If you haven't ever heard Dave's series on fasting, you need to hear that so you don't hurt yourself. Physically, do it right now. Yes, sir. Fasting food is only going to be one part of the chastening. Because as we start allowing our Father now, allowing Him to, let's use the word tutor, because really that's what chastening means. All right, He's going to get one-on-one with Sergi. God's going to come with Sergi, and He's going to get one-on-one. He's going, now that person I've been dealing with you to forgive. Now, I'm not prophesying. I'm trying to make a point. That person that I've been dealing with you for 10 years. He's pretty young. 5 years for you to forgive. Now, you and I are going to have to start working on that. I don't want to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive him. Nothing in me wants to forgive him. He says, well, why are you attending the prayer center? If you want to walk in miracles, you're going to have to forgive him. It's on the path to holiness. Other things. Depends on what has you. See, that here we are in that renewal process again. Different people have different strongholds, have you noticed? I know some people that can just get healed at the drop of a hat and struggle financially their whole life. Well, I mean struggle, and not in a godly way. I know others that make money like crazy can't get healed. There's different struggles, different strongholds. My tutoring is not going to be the same as yours, but yes, sir. But he says, but fasting is the same for all. See, it's a good starting point. I hear that just as plain. Fasting is for all because it's universal. Nobody likes it. I always worry about people that tell me they like it. But I'm beginning to see now there is a part of me that likes it. There is a part of me that really does like it. I wonder if I'll ever get to where I could really say that in truth, you know. But the spirit man of me wants victory. The spirit part of me, the Son of God, is, I started to say sick and tired, but he's never sick. He is way past time to put, he said, when are we ever going to put our foot on the neck of the flesh? When is that ever going to, how long are you going to be patty caking around with this? What kind of title do you put on this? Another shouting message. Prophesy again. Yes, sir. Go back to John 3. Oh, my. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. Here's the ending of it. So here's our famous verse, you know. Let's pick it up in 14, though, really. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and again, he didn't lift up a lamb. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. When Moses threw down that staff in Pharaoh's court, it did not become a lamb. It became a serpent. Jesus did give his body for us. Sacrifice. That's why we partake of the bread. But the life is in the blood. He became the serpent. He tasted spiritual death for every man. And that's why he is called the firstborn from the dead. It's a new species with a new Adam. But anyway. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. This is where I thank God for the thief on the cross. All he said was, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He acknowledged he was the king, and that was enough. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Okay, I'm going to read it, just read it like it is first. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now, the way it's written here is exactly right. Jesus is the light. He came into the world. Most of the world rejected him. But now we're going to go, this is next year, I'm telling you. I'm prophesying again, I guess. This is next year for you. We're talking about you and your world. If you're born again, the light. God has shined the light in our hearts. Remember that? The light of the glorious gospel that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. That light has shined. If you're a Christian, that light has shined in your heart. Now let me say it this way. That light has shined in your world. He's in there. The light has shined. Okay, I'm going to talk about Gary and not you. Parts of Gary run to the light. The part of me that's born again loves him. There's other parts of me that have run from the light for years. If you could picture rooms, storage places in my soul, where I don't want that light to penetrate because I love what's in there. Or I may hate what's in there, either way. But in this context, let's talk about things that you still love, things you don't want to give up. Now, on a personal level, the light has shined in Gary's world. Part of me has run to the light. Part of me loves it. That other part of me that's over here siding with Mike Banks, siding with the flesh, see, it's reluctant. It doesn't want to come to the light because you know what will happen. You fling that door open and the light shines in that darkness. And again, here we're talking about the message. Praying in other tongues does this like nothing else. Rooms that you've kept locked away, could be rooms of just sin. I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. How many times are we going to have to keep reading about it on the nationally known huge churches, pastors, you know, and you find out they're involved in all kinds of things, you know, pornography and internet fingers and homosexuality and just on and on and on. Rooms in there that don't love the light. This is a year of unlocking the doors, flinging them open, and let the light shine in even those dark places. And you know what it's going to hinge on? Whether you're going to do that or not do that, not His love for you. It tells you right there. It's your love for Him. Men loved darkness rather than the light. See, I'm trying to be real honest with you, and there's parts of Gary that have loved darkness. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. The thief made it. I'm going to make it. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about maturity. And I want to walk in the light as He is in the light. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When He says this, then I have to do it. Let me give you one example. Now, you're going to have your own close encounters of the third kind with God. Okay? I told you about mine. I struggled for years and years with cigarette smoking. I'll be honest with you, I loved smoking. It was my friend. It never judged me. It was always there for me. It never said no. It always brought the same consolation. For a lot of reasons. But I knew it wasn't right. So I struggled to some degree, but I didn't struggle enough. I could have quit smoking a long time before that, but I didn't. Why? Let's just say for today's teaching, I loved the darkness more than I loved the light. And I knew I could make heaven. I know smoking won't keep you out of heaven. It just make you smell like you've been to hell. See, I knew that. So it's something. Now, I hate to say this about myself, but see, I'm just trying to be honest with you. But you know what it took? Y'all remember what it took for me? You keep on praying. You keep on seeking God. And I mean, eventually you'll have a close encounter of the third kind, if you'll allow me. And I remember, I'll never forget it. It was on my mom's birthday. We weren't here. We were in New York doing some meetings there. And the Lord appeared to me in my room there. I was up late. Sue had already gone to bed in that motel room. And I was up late just praying, reading the Bible. And I had an encounter with the Lord, and He told me, He says, now you know you're coming to heaven. You know you're going to have a reward. He says, but if you don't deal with this thing, and I knew He was talking about the smoking, if you don't deal with this, I have things for you to do. I have places for you to go where I cannot send you until after you deal with that. Now, if you don't deal with it, you're going to come to heaven. You'll have a reward. But when you get here, I'm going to have to draw back a curtain. I'm going to have to show you what was my real plan for your life that you never did do because you refused to deal with this in the flesh. Now the pain, I don't know how else to put it, the emotional hurt of someday having to stand before Him and Him draw back that curtain. I love Him. When it comes right down to it, I found out that day, I really do love him more than I love the darkness. But boy, the battle was on from that day on. I never smoked another one from that day. You talk about fasting, I know about withdrawals. But when it came right down to it, it was my love for him that caused me to be able to put that down. Not wanting to stand in front of him and go through that was worse in my emotions than the war of the withdrawals. Now, it's going to be just like that with me in other areas that I probably don't even, maybe I don't even know yet. Maybe I don't know what yet. There's things that we call okay that's probably not okay with him. Now, I'm not going to start listening to man, and you can give up trying to tell me what you think is holy. The church already went through that about 100 years ago. That's why women wound up with no makeup and hair up in a bun, no jewelry, all that kind of stuff. I'm not interested in what you think is holy. I'm interested in what he thinks is holy. That's why I'm not going to be telling you nothing except pray and fast. You let God deal with you. You let God deal with you. Amen? We'll see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah.